Evening, everybody. You're very welcome this evening. Just going to go through the introductory remarks. So I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening, and hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we're currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in any vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item is ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they're personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I've no issue bringing in non-committee members, but I think committee members should be brought in first, so if you just bear with me with that. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on the delegate microphone if you're physically in the meeting room. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. So type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Following the presentation of officer reports, the chairperson will call for a proposer or seconder, and this should be done using the instant messenger feature. So please do not submit these until asked to do so, as it may be missed. If two members propose at the same time, the first member having indicated through the instant messenger will become the proposer, and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. I'll then ask the proposer and seconder in turn to unmute to indicate vocally their proposing and seconding the decision. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate again via the instant messenger feature so we're aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Okay, so second on the agenda is any declarations of interest. Oh, sorry, is there any apologies from the floor?
Sure, I may have to leave the meeting at 7:30 to go to another meeting if the meeting is on that length, so my apologies in advance.
Okay, we'll try my best to get finished for 7:30, Michael. That's fine, thank you. Any other apologies? No. Any declarations of interest?
Sure, I'd probably not be there, but item 27, I have my own publishing business, so we'll be stepping out of that matter. Okay.
Okay, thanks for that, Councillor Savage. Is that noted then? Yeah, okay. So moving on to item 3 on the agenda. So as a committee, we've agreed start times for SPNR from June 2021 to April 2022. You will have all been furnished with the dates of meetings, which are pretty regular, bar I think there's one change. So do we have a proposal for the start time? So we're happy to stay with 6. Yeah, so that's proposed by... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing, Chair, sorry.
Oh, right, okay. So the proposal from Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor Murray. Okay, thanks. And we're moving on to item 4 on the agenda. So we're just going to go through the action sheet page by page for accuracy. So for page 1, page 2... 3, 4, 5 and 6. And can I have a proposer and seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor O'Mara and seconded by Councillor Howell. Okay, thank you. Is there any matters arising from the action sheet? No, that's great. Thank you. Okay, so item 5 then is social media and unacceptable use policy procedure, and the officer taking this will be Regina Macken.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. Councillors, you have before you the Council's social media draft social media and acceptable use policy and procedures. As you can imagine, the use of corporate social media is very well established now within Council. And what this policy and procedure sets out are the acceptable use guidelines on how social media should be used to support the delivery and promotion of the Council and the use of social media by employees and elected members in both a professional and a personal capacity. And to date, we took the documents through SMT, CMT, party leaders and the ALGACC as part of the policy approval process. So the recommendation, Madam Chairman, is to consider the draft social media and acceptable use policy and procedure and recommend for approval. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Regina. There's a couple of questions coming in there. So, Councillor Brown.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and good luck for your first meeting. Hopefully it's not too long a one. Look, I had a chance to read through this this afternoon, and it's just got a couple of issues I'd like to raise on it. Obviously, not being on party reps, I haven't been cited on it until now. I personally feel it's a bit too heavy-handed and doesn't differentiate enough between employees and elected representatives. So I feel that part of our role is to scrutinise and, in some cases, constructively criticise where necessary the functions of council. I think this is not just our right as elected members, but a vital part of the democratic process. I think this paper conflates employees who obviously would not be able or encouraged to publicly criticise their employer with elected members who are the executive body of council and responsible for its oversight. In particular, it makes no reference to elected members' right to freedom of speech and expression, and simply linking to the code of conduct is not sufficient in my view. The code itself has a myriad of flaws, and indeed many councillors here would have objected to signing it whenever they got elected. I think this policy needs to set out the difference clearly between what is expected of elected members and not group them in with employees consistently as it currently does. In particular, there's a paragraph on page 10 of the procedure document, which I find troubling, around repetitive negative messages which aim to provoke a response or do not constructively add to the conversation. I think this is an incredibly subjective requirement where one person's interpretation of what is negative or constructive could completely differ from another person's. So I certainly think that this needs to be removed or clearly stated that it does not apply to councillors. And finally, I just want to check if we have consulted with the NAC on this document and if the policy has been benchmarked against other council areas' policies. If not, I think we should definitely consult with them. They're very much up to speed with the flaws of the code of conduct as well, so they might have some useful insight in what they think of this too.
Okay, thanks for those comments. What I'll do, I'll bring Councillor Sharvin and Councillor O'Mara in, and then Regina come back, if that's okay.
Yes.
So, Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and I'm sure your Vice Chair of Committee will keep you right if you ever need support at all, as you did with me, so I'm sure he's more than capable. Yeah, a couple of questions. On page 8, 7.2, it says the communication marketing team has overall responsibility, but it doesn't show within it who actually has access to social media platforms. Is that only within the communications marketing team, or who does have access? A sort of ratio model, who's responsible, accountable, consultant, informed would be useful there. On Councillor Brown's point, you know, no councillor should be above anyone else. When the council, we all represent the council to the public, and we should all adhere to best practice and conduct ourselves in a way that we should conduct business. So certainly don't necessarily agree with everything that he says there. And the other part, further on down, I think it's 15.2 around the emergency and outside the authority's boundary, when we're in election mode of PIRTA, where the council can continue to do such. I'd be interested to know what we as a council would foresee as an emergency or what is outside the authority's boundary control, and if we have some examples. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Sharvin. Councillor O'Mara?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just briefly, I wasn't really intent on speaking on this, I suppose. Just picking up on a few things that Councillor Brown had to say that, I suppose, like Gareth, I didn't really agree with. You know, you can look at it in many different ways and why you were elected in the first place onto the council and what the voters want from you and what sort of representation they want from you. Maybe it is to improve the look of an area. Maybe it's for better representation for a particular DEA or whatever it is. Never when I was canvassing looking for votes did anyone ever say to me, I want you to go in and criticise and fall out with and fall foul of the code of conduct and do everything that you've got a right to do that. I'm a teacher, and you know, the way that you conduct yourself with regards to the school management and your board of governors, you have to constantly be wise and try and be fair to everybody and understand everybody's always at all times doing their best. And, you know, if I had an issue in school with the Board of Governors, I would contact the chairperson of the Board of Governors or the school principal. I'm the vice chair of Forest na Gaeilge, you know, an all-Ireland body with a budget of about £14 million. I wouldn't be going on to social media and criticising the executive of the Board of Forest na Gaeilge. I'd be, if I had an issue with them, again, I would go through my party and raise concerns or whatever. And just like with the council, there's not everything that happens in the council that I particularly am delighted with or that our party are delighted with. But the last place on God's earth that I would consider going would be social media. You know, I would pick up the phone. I would contact Marie Ward. I would write an email. I would write a strongly worded email if necessary. I would sit down, have a chat. I would bring it up at a future meeting. I would bring it up at a DEA forum. The last place I would go would be social media, where my words could be misinterpreted or misconstrued. People would then think that I was a councillor who was out to get the council, who wasn't getting on with other people, who would be, I would expect to be reported maybe for being in breach of the code of conduct or that. And I can't stress highly enough how the need for something like this, the need for a social media policy, exists in everything, but in a corporate entity and in a body like the council, it's there to protect and it's there to safeguard and it's there to ensure that, you know, everybody, nobody's going to be bullied or nobody's going to be picked on social media. So again, Councillor Brown's remarks, everybody, if you have something you want to raise, there's loads of avenues to raise it. I don't see that social media is the way to go with that, but that's just my views. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor O'Mara. I would have to agree with that too. You know, we are elected representatives. We are held in esteem by our communities and the public. And I think it's only natural that we're going to, you know, actually go, if we're going to use social media, we're going to do it in a very positive way. And, you know, people are going to watch and listen to how we remark on things, and we need to be cognizant of that. And I think the main thing about this is that it's protecting the staff and the council. It's not unusual, and it's becoming more of the norm in every business, even should it be the local high street grocer. They have to have social media policies too. So I'll let Regina come in to answer the questions that were raised there.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chairman. Beg your pardon. With relation, first of all, to the, some of the issues which Councillor Brown raised, you will see under 9.2 of the procedures, we see it very clearly where everyone has a right to freedom of speech. It has to be balanced not only with legislation, but what's generally acceptable. But also as a council, we have a duty of care towards employees and elected members, and that also applies. So therefore, there is freedom of speech allowed, but it has to be within the parameters of what is correct and within legislative boundaries and what's acceptable. To answer your question, Councillor Brown, we did not benchmark it with NAC. Now, we did do considerable consultation on this, and also not only consultation, but also looked at best practice, not only here, but across quite a number of other councils as well too. And so we did, in terms of benchmarking this, we did look at what other councils were doing in many other different areas, both large and small. And we do refer councillor under 8.6. At the end of the day, the Northern Ireland Local Government Commissioner for Standards, the guidance for councillors on social media is available, and the code of conduct is available there for councillors. I mean, I don't have to tell you that. I'm sure you are all very well aware of that. So so in terms of consultation regarding the code of conduct, it is already there. Councillor Sharvin, in relation to your point under 7.2, the communications and marketing team is actually responsible for the day-to-day management of the corporate social media channels. We have responsibility for that, and that's what we deal with. In terms of any of the directorates having other social media channels for whatever, very specific uses like for events or whatever, that's their responsibility. However, the guidelines here are to provide guidance and best practice, you know, for actually using those different social media. But we are responsible, the comms team is responsible for the corporate social media sites. I'm sorry, Councillor Sarvan, I don't understand your question that you raised regarding the emergencies. Sorry, would you mind just asking me that again, please?
Yeah, no problem, Regina. In relation to it's 15.2, I believe it is, whenever I was going through this, it's in relation to when we're in election mode and around Purdah. Yes. It clearly states that under 15.4 it is. However, during the run-up to election, communication and marketing can continue as follows. It is admissible for members holding key positions to comment an emergency or where there is a genuine need for a member-level response to an important event outside the authority's control. Can you provide an example of what an emergency would be classified as and what do you mean by outside the authority's control?
If it was, God forbid, if there was a very major emergency, if there was a very major accident or a major fire in which perhaps there was, God forbid, a loss of life or something like that, where the chairperson would wish to obviously comment and issue a statement in relation to that, that would be an event outside an authority's control, and where it is a true emergency at a time during Purdah when there's not supposed to be the legislation such that there is not publicity during that period. But that's not really termed publicity. That would be an example of where the chairperson would issue a statement or, you know, comment on the happening if it was within an emergency situation. That's just an example that I could provide for that.
Okay, thanks, Regina.
And that, I don't think, Councillor Murray, have you actually had any questions as such for me?
No, not at all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I hope that addresses the questions asked.
Yeah, well, thanks for that comprehensive response. Hopefully it will. Now, we do have a proposer and seconder. Councillor McKay has proposed and Councillor O'Mara has seconded. So are we content to move on?
Could I get a right of reply, Chair?
You put a P in, which I thought was a proposal.
Well, I have a right of reply, and I did sort of make a proposal around NAC. I don't know if anyone wants to second it or not, but it was a proposal.
What was your proposal?
That we consult with the National Association of Councillors on this policy before passing it.
Okay.
Yeah,
do have a proposer and seconder to pass the policy as it stands. So you're wanting to amend it?
Yeah, I suppose you want to take.
Do you have somebody to second that amendment proposal?
I don't know. We'll see if anyone wants to second it.
Well, to the floor then.
Well, there we go, Jarlison. I'd just like a read of reply as well, Chair, if that's okay, just in relation to Regina's comments. First of all, I think it's quite ironic that the Sinn Féin group leader is saying that we shouldn't criticise council on social media when just a few weeks ago he was given off on Facebook about Prince Charles visiting the area. And in my opinion, it came across very critical.
Do you think that's relevant to this?
I think it came across very critical of the council, actually. He was saying the chief executive knew about it and he hadn't. And that was certainly my interpretation.
Patrick, I think you're going completely off on a tangent here. It's not relevant to what we're discussing. The social media policy. You've put a proposal in and Councillor Tinley has seconded it.
And in response to Regina's comments, I just wanted to make it clear that I wasn't taking issue with the freedom of expression not being mentioned at all in the policy. It's the fact that there's no differentiation between freedom of expression and speech for councillors versus employees. It is a legal fact. Courts will recognise this, that councillors have enhanced freedom of speech and expression as legal as elected reps. It's one of the few privileges that we have to help us do our job and speak up for people in a more free manner. And I think it's one of the few privileges, especially given the, you know, abuse and grief we often put up with to do our jobs. It's not to say that we are above employees. But employees cannot claim that enhanced freedom of speech and expression. So that is why I'm asking for the policy to recognise that. And I do think that if we speak to NAC, they will reflect that opinion. And I think we should consult with them on this.
Okay, well, you do have a seconder there with Councillor Tinley. I'll bring in Councillor Byrne there. You have a question?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I support the original proposal from Councillor McKee and seconded by Councillor Murray. When we talk about freedom of expression, it's already contained in the document. You read the policy and all the conduct and professional standards. I've been through the process. I've been challenged on the process by a fellow councillor that, you know, even carrying out my duty wasn't freedom of expression, you know, where I was scrutinised. And so I find it, you know, I find it completely blatant that we have the opposite argument coming now, given what I went through on this exact same issue. I mean, we have said over, when it's popular, we say clean up social media. You know, Twitter, Facebook, it needs to stop attacking people. Women get, you know, unfairly attacked. We have women leading this council and leading nearly every committee on this council. And the abuse that some people get and give on social media, it needs to be challenged. So we can go out there and we can say it needs clean up, but not starting with us. That if we do bring a policy here, we want a few loopholes so we can continue. I mean, we shouldn't be conducting ourselves in a way that we fall foul of any of these policies. And the protection of freedoms of councillors is there. I can tell you from going through the process, and this does not go against that. So I think it actually really looked bad on us as councillors that we're looking for loopholes to continue with some of the atrocious behaviour that's on social media. And we should be protecting the employees and we should be with officers. And we can criticise, but we cannot unfairly attack. We cannot misquote. We cannot take complaints of misinformation that gets the backs of people up. We understand that news reporters, and we've had pundits talking about when misinformation is out there, look what happens in the streets. People run with the misinformation and pay people against each other. Maybe sometimes for political gain, it's got to stop. We've got to have policies to protect the organisation. It isn't fair to continue like this, and it's certainly not fair as elected reps to say that everybody else should deal with their social media platforms but us. So I fully support the first proposal from Councillor McKee and seconded by Councillor Murray, and I don't think we should be looking for loopholes. Those protections that Councillor Brown's asking for are there, and those protections that Councillor Brown's asking for is the opposite of what he was saying a couple of months ago when he was challenged.
Okay, thanks for all the comments. So we did have a proposer and seconder for the original policy, and we now have a fresh proposal there from Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Tinley. So we will be voting on the counter proposal or the second proposal. So just a roll call, yeah, sorry.
Okay, Councillor Brown?
For.
Councillor Byrne?
My Wi-Fi is very, very pricey to bear with me. I didn't get a single thing you said before that vote. Just clarify what we're voting on.
But we're voting on Councillor Brown's proposal.
Against.
Councillor Dorn?
Against.
Councillor Gallagher's not on the call. Councillor Hanlon?
Against.
Councillor Hoyle?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness? Councillor McGuinness. Yeah. She's shown on the call, but
she dropped off.
Her Wi-Fi's been up, Sarah.
Okay. Councillor Murphy?
Yeah, against.
Councillor Murray?
Yes.
Councillor Riley's not on the call. Councillor Savage?
Against.
Councillor Sharvin?
Against.
Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Tinley?
For.
Councillor Walker?
Against.
Okay, so I have 2 for and 10 against.
Okay, so the proposal will fall and the original policy will be go through then. Okay, thanks for that. So moving on to item 6, the Director of Business Plans, and these are going to be taken by Marie and Dorina.
Thank you, Chair. I just present in front of you tonight, you have the emergency business plans and a look back at the year that we have just had for both the Chief Executive's Directorate and the Corporate Services Directorate. So contained within your packet, Appendix 1 and 2, you'll see that look back position and what the respective directorates achieved during this year that it was. And then at Appendix 3 and Appendix 4, councillors, you will see our business plans for the year ahead. These have been written with a much more business as usual focus, and obviously still dealing with some of the impacts of COVID that's with us, and still trying to drive the business forward. So happy to take any comments or questions.
Thanks, Serena. Thanks, Serena. There's a question from Councillor Savage.
Yes, Chair. Just firstly, a comment. It's good to see us being able to plan things and have a strategy for the year ahead that actually looks something like normal. Chair, the recent to item 6, Appendix 3, page 8, the Chief Executive's Business Plan. I very much welcome the inclusion of the Housing Needs Conference within that within quarter 3 of this year. And Chair, you know, I think the conference will be a benchmark as to how we, as a council, speak up for our citizens who are most in need. You know, obviously the most important part thing to most important human right really is the right to shelter. And I think that when we get our people housed, we end up with a happy district and a more content people. And I think that's a big challenge that we have. And I think since we, as a council, took the bold step in 2019 to change council policy in relation to prioritising social housing within our planning system, and likewise then we had our subsequent housing needs conference, I think we have really transformed things on the ground. We have hundreds of houses coming out of the ground across our district. I am seeing every day people who waited for a long time on housing lists getting housed, and the difference and the impact that has made on their whole quality of life. I think we've an awful lot still to do. We still have high levels of waiting lists and homelessness. And you know, I think we've further challenges on the back of COVID that we need to work into that new conference. I think we need to analyse the impact of COVID on waiting lists, the delays and the impact and knock-on effect of that, and how it's impacted the delivery times of our new builds and the completion of much-needed renovation and maintenance works. I think we need to include that. You know, that's something new that we need to add in looking forward. And also something else that, you know, it's later on in our agenda for noting, but...
Councillor Savage, have you a question around that?
I have indeed, yes. Yes, I do, yes. Part of the question is, will these things be included? Also, the potential future-proofing, and this is very important, we've raised it on the agenda tonight, is in relation to the spiralling cost of building materials.
Yeah, that is on the agenda. We can discuss.
Well, it is, but this is specific to the Housing Association, to the Housing Conference, Chair, in relation to the impact that this will have on the cost of providing social homes. I think it's very important that that's included in that conference, and that we ensure that through the Department of Communities and the Housing Executive, that steps are taken to mitigate that and to ensure that housing associations are able to deliver on their proposals and their plans for housing schemes across the district to meet need. And basically, when there are challenges ahead, I think that we've had a very positive first conference with a lot to build on. And I think that there's a lot can be achieved. And I wish Marie and the team well in pulling that together over the coming months. I think it's an important body of work that we do, and I think we have a real positive impact. So, Chair, I would like really, if Marie would and the team would consider those elements, that really it isn't on the back of COVID and it comes in the back of some of the challenges that have been outlined there in Appendix 1 and 2. This is something that would impact on something that's in Appendix 3, and that's why I'm raising it tonight. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks very much for your comments. I'm sure we could all, you know, discuss social housing in our own areas. But your points have been noticed, Councillor Savage. Thanks very much, Councillor Sharvin. You have a question?
Yeah, Chair, and it's more a comment rather than a question. But although there's plenty of green smiles under information technology, business continuity, disaster recovery, we've given ourselves an amber. I think that's very unfair on the IT team. I'm going through an audit of work at the moment, and to say that we're not living business continuity at the moment due to COVID, I think that should be a smile, green face that we should be given for business continuity disaster recovery, because the IT team have had to adapt very quickly during COVID to allow the council to continue to operate while we've been in the pandemic. So not that we need any more green smiley faces, but I think we should change that to acknowledge how we have continued as an organisation.
Well, we all love the wee green smiley face, so your points have been noted as well, Councillor Sharvin. So do we have a proposer and seconder for the paper? Proposed by Councillor Sharvin and seconded by Councillor Hyle. Thanks very much. So moving on to item 7 on the agenda is the Performance Improvement Plan 2021-22. And Kate's going to take this item for us.
Thanks, Chair. So we've all received a copy of the reports which recommend a final version of the Performance Improvement Plan alongside the Consultation and Engagement Report and the Objective Delivery Plans. So just by way of background, the Council has a statutory duty to secure continuous improvement in the exercise of functions and to publish the Performance Improvement Plan on an annual basis. And the purpose of the plan is to set out what improvements and positive outcomes our stakeholders can expect to see over the year ahead and how we're going to measure and monitor our performance. So at Appendix 1, you'll find the Performance Improvement Plan, and you'll note that we are proposing 5 objectives which focus on the quality of our parks and open spaces, growing the economy, the cleanliness of our district, supporting communities through the financial assistance scheme, and improving the performance of the planning service. Each objective is underpinned by supporting actions and measures of success, all of which were approved in draft format by this committee in March. The objectives have since been subject to an 8-week consultation and engagement process to ascertain whether they're right for our district and right for the organisation. So in Appendix 2, you'll find a detailed overview of the consultation and engagement findings. And you'll see that overall, based on the 41 responses to the survey and engagement with in and around 100 stakeholders through the Youth Council, the Older People's Forum, the DEA Forums and the Cedar Foundation, there was generally widespread support for the proposed objectives, and many of the issues which were raised and discussed will actually be addressed through the objectives or through the Council's broader business planning arrangements. The only real material change that we are proposing is the inclusion of an action and a measure around community trails under Performance Improvement Objective 1, which you'll see was raised on a number of occasions through the Consultation and Engagement Report. So then finally in Appendix 3, you'll find the Objective Delivery Plans, which essentially seek to demonstrate in practical terms how the Council will manage the implementation of each directorate in terms of human and financial resources and governance arrangements. So just to summarise, Chair, we are recommending a final version of the Performance Improvement Plan for 21-22. We are asking approval to publish the plan before the 25th of June prior to full Council ratification in order to meet the statutory deadline of the 30th of June. Happy to take any questions.
Okay, thanks very much, Kate. Do any members have questions they want to come in with? No, everybody's satisfied. I have a proposer and seconder.
proposed by Councillor Murphy and seconded by Councillor Byrne. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, can I just refer the committee at item 5, the social media and acceptable use policy. The original officer's recommendation was proposed by Councillor McKee, seconded by Councillor Murray. Unfortunately, Councillor McKee is not a member of the committee as of this month, so we have a proposal then from Councillor Murray. We would need a seconder for that original recommendation to stand, please. Apologies for that.
Thanks, Serena. The first error on the committee. We'll just remind members that if you're not on the committee, you know, to avoid proposing and seconding. So if we go back to the original proposal, we did have a proposal from Councillor O'Meara. So if we could get a seconder for that now, just to rectify that.
Give lots.
Okay, seconded by Councillor Dorn. Thanks very much. Apologies. Okay, so moving on to item 8. It's a report on the back of the motion brought from Councillor Brown around the creation of a Northern Mutual Bank. And this is going to be taken by Ken. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. As members can recall, following Councillor Brown's notice of motion at the February meeting of the Strategic Policy and Resources Committee, on mutual banking, officers were asked to come back to this committee with further information on what the resource implications and the legalities were around the this new mutual Northern Bank. Officers have met with two of the campaigners for the Northern Mutual Bank, and they have clarified some questions that were posed by members. They were not asking council to make an investment of money. They were asking council to give public support for the campaign and to join the advisory committee. And they also advised that giving support in this way does not in any way commit the council to making any advance investment in the project now or at any point in the future. If council were to make an investment at a point in the future, it would be entirely at council's discretion. Currently, there are 5 projects at various stages of implementation within the UK. These are the South West, one in Avon, one in Wales, one in the North West of England, and one in the North East of England. As you can see, the business case that was provided by Dr. G. Bowen, which is attached to your papers, sets out a quite lengthy as to what the thoughts were around the project and all the information that was is required. The recommendation is that the committee consider the report and agree to support the campaign for the implementation of such a bank and join the advisory committee. The report, is, as I said, is quite lengthy, but does provide some good information, particularly on the operating structure and model and how the project is funded on a capital basis. So any member wanting to join the committee can confirm their request to Sarah, who will forward on the names to Mrs. Bridget Meehan. Chair, I'm happy to take any questions members may have.
Thank you, Ken. I sat through the 70 pages of the report last night itself, so I was almost cross-eyed by the end of it, but it's an interesting read. Do any members have questions? Councillor Sharvin, I see you're in with a question.
I had a proposal in there, Chair.
Oh, I beg your pardon, sorry. Councillor Brown, if you want to go ahead.
All right, Chair, I was in there before Linda anyway, obviously, can't get speaking on it. I'd like to propose the officer's recommendation here, and I'd also like to thank Dorina and Ken for all of their hard work in taking this motion back and liaising with the campaigners. Although, Ken, it is Dr. Bridget Meehan, so you'll get in trouble with her if you say
apologies.
you're all right. Thank you very much for the work around this. I do hope that any confusion around the motion originally around the financial commitment is now clarified. You know, the motion did say if it was successful, it would commit council to some or all of the actions listed. But maybe more clarity was needed, and I accept that on my part. We were never definitely committing to any spends, and it's good to see that confirmed via the paper, and we'll see how it plays out now with representatives on the advisory board. So very pleased that we'll be hopefully supporting this campaign, and thanks again to the officers for bringing it forward.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Sharvin?
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and I think sending Ken to the meeting probably saved us and having to invest in this money. I don't know what we'll do when he retires shortly. We'll be lost without him, and we might lose control of the budget and spend all the money when Ken retires. Who knows? We might have to get you back in for consultancy, Ken, or you'll be too busy out on the golf course. I don't know which one. I am glad, Chair, that the clarity of the motion around the investment of the money has been clarified, because that was probably the most stumbling block for a lot of councillors when this motion actually was presented by Councillor Brown. But with the officers meeting with the campaigners, it's great to have that clarity. And I'm the same as you. I sat and read 70 pages and had my highlighter out to pick at it. But it's good to see, and I'm happy to second the officer's proposal, or the recommendations are.
Okay, so we have a proposal from Councillor Brown and seconded by Councillor Sharvin. No other questions around the paper? No? Happy to move on then. So item 9 is the centenary commemoration of the opening of the Ulster Tower, and Regina Macken's going to talk us through this.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, the 20th of November 2021 marks the centenary of the opening of the Ulster Tower Memorial on the Somme battlefields. And as you know, the Ulster Tower is a memorial commemorating the service and sacrifice of men from the island of Ireland at the Somme and the wider First World War. So the Somme Association, in conjunction with Leisure Holidays, have organised a fully supported trip with specialist guides to mark the centenary commemoration from the 18th to the 21st. It costs £549 per person. And at the Councillors Equality and Good Relations meeting on the 30th of April 2021, in light of the fact that the 2020 Somme pilgrimage did not take place due to COVID-19 travel restrictions, it was recommended that the council give consideration to approving a delegation of 4 councillors to attend the event. So the recommendation is that members are asked to agree to councillors Burgess, Owen, McKee and Andrews attending the Ulster Tower Centenary commemoration event from the 18th to the 21st of November 2021. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Regina. So we have Councillor Walker with a proposal and a question.
Yes, Chair, thank you very much. And I'd make it a proposal. As Regina said, it was raised at Good Relations and that, and it was agreed with just one amendment that you are all aware that Councillor Owen is no longer a member of the party. She's an independent. So that amendment would be to replace Councillor Owen with myself along with the other 3. So that's the proposal.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Walker. Councillor Taylor, are you happy to second the proposal?
Yes, Chair. Yep. More than happy, as I say. I'm a member of the Good Relations Forum as well, and a member of this issue being discussed. So, yep, happy, and I propose we obviously support the amendment as well, mentioned by Councillor Walker.
Okay. Councillor Byrne, you have a question?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I support the proposal. I can support the amendment as it's read out. You know, putting four people forward, and I know there was no trouble last year, was four reps. I mean, it makes no difference whether an independent unionist wants to go to the commemoration or not. And I think to remove a councillor with a councillor being in this forum and put it down around party lines makes absolutely no sense to me. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's in the spirit of what the paper's written in the commemoration. You know, Councillor Walker wanted to add himself. That's something that we could discuss. I'm not in favour and cannot back removing a councillor on this. I don't think we've got the power to do that. Remove a councillor because political allegiances have changed. It's still a unionist, independent councillor that wants to commemorate an event, an attendant event. And who are we to say that you can't? So I couldn't back the amendment to remove somebody. I've no problem with Billy adding himself on, but we're not the amendment.
Okay.
Chair, Councillor Taylor again. Sorry. Could I ask? Because maybe Councillor Walker could provide you know some clarity. Has contact been made with Councillor Owens in respect of this? You know, or has she given any indication of her, you know, of being content with what's been taken off the, you know, planned trip, or can, you know, a conversation been made, you know, or can contact be made with her, you know, regarding this? At the very least.
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. I'll bring Councillor Walker back in again. Thanks.
Chair, thank you very much. And frankly, no contact hasn't been made with her. But if you remember at the initial AGM, when it was discussed in relation to who would go to the Somme, it was agreed at the time that, and it was sort of down party lines, it was agreed at the time that there would be, over the course of the term of this council, there would be three DUP would go, there would be three Ulster unions would go, and the SDLP, I think twice in relation to it. Now, I remember Councillor Riley at the time asking the question as to why, you know, he wasn't allowed to go. But I don't have a problem of Councillor Owen going, add my name and I'll pay my own. I'd pay my own to the council, whatever the cost of that is. So it is. But at the AGM, the very first AGM, it was decided, Councillor Byrne, that there would be three DUP, three Ulster unions, and the two SDLP. So I think, Kerry, you know, you should decide it to send Kerry, which is a right to do in that. And that's why I'm saying that with Councillor Owen no longer within the party, that falls to me as the sole DUP representative left. And the same thing would arise next year, with the two that would be going next year. If I'm still a member of this party, I would be the sole DUP representative. It wouldn't be Councillor Hannah. But, you know, if you still want to agree to the amendment, you know, put Councillor Owen. I'm not going to fall out with anybody over it. If the council books me, I will pay my own way there. I don't have a problem in doing that.
Thanks, Councillor Walker. Councillor Byrne, you have a proposal?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I suppose I don't want this to run into a row. It's not meant to be. Something that we should be running over. If we can come back to the full council with clarification with Councillor Owens, and then have it that we ratify it, you know, it comes back as 6B or whatever it is, and we can make that decision when we have that information. I fully accept what you're saying, but also when you're talking about the DUP lanes of the people that were going to these commemorations, at the time the DUP had three members, and that's why it was the DUP, the UUP, and the SDLP or Sinn Féin if they need it. If we were in the current situation that we are now, in terms of party lines, there's three independent unionists. So I know that if that conversation happened then, you would have independent unionists on the trip as well. And I don't think we should be removing somebody, and we can't make that decision tonight. So I'd say we hold off, and we make the decision after making contact with Councillor Owen, whether she might want to go on the trip. I don't know. And once we get that information, we can say it off at the full council.
Yeah, if I could maybe clarify with Sarah, you know, is it a DUP position or it's been clarified then it is
sorry,
a DUP.
Yeah. So for year two it was the Ulster Unionist Party and DUP, and then for year three it was UUP and SDLP, and year four then is UUP and DUP. That was agreed in 2019.
Okay. Councillor Taylor, you have a question?
Yeah, Chair, I'm just conscious, obviously, in terms of, you know, making a decision of some sort tonight. Could I in principle, you know, propose, obviously, in principle, that the four places are obviously, you know, booked in principle, but just, you know, between Councillor Walker and Councillor Owens, if they could maybe get some discussion regarding that place. But obviously, Councillor Walker has made a proposal that he's happy to pay, you know, for his own place if it comes to that. But certainly, you know, in principle, the council obviously, you know, agrees to the four places. That would have been the case anyway if COVID hadn't been obviously, you know, impacting, you know, travel the way it has over the last maybe 12 to 18 months. So it's really just to get that over the line in the first instance, and obviously between Councillor Walker. It's no issue to me who goes, to be honest. I don't want to get in the middle of all this, and I think I'm just conscious that we have a decision to make in terms of the four places, and I would certainly propose that we proceed to that and allow Councillor Walker and Councillor Owens that bit of time before the full council meeting to decide which ones go on. And if Councillor Owens decides not to go, Councillor Walker takes the place. If she does want to go, Councillor Walker's made the offer to pay for his place, and the council can proceed and do that with Councillor Walker obviously recompensing the council for his booking fee.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Taylor. I suppose if I could ask Regina, is that a possibility that we just confirm the actual four places, or do you need to know tonight what the actual names are?
Madam Chairman, no, there's time to confirm the four places. There's still time. I mean, if this is only June, it's not until November, so there's still time, Madam Chairman.
Okay, Councillor Walker, I'll let you in the last time there. Yeah.
Sure. In relation to what was said, we have time here, and after this meeting, I will phone Councillor Owen, and that, and I can get it back to Sarah tomorrow. I know Sarah said there that it was down as a DUP position. As I said, I'm happy to pay my own. I'm not going to get hung up on it, and that's the reason I had said that because it was a DUP position, I would then be stepping in there. But if Councillor Owen wants to go, I will pay my own way, and I'll find that out later on. And if she is not going, you know, that means me. But if she's going, the council needs to book five, and I will pay the council for my own.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Councillor Walker. I think that's something that can be rectified pretty simply with a phone call. So, if we're happy to move on with a proposer and seconder for the four places, yeah. Okay. Thanks very much. So, item 10 on the agenda is request for names to be added to the Killaloe War Memorial, and Alison's going to take this paper.
Thank you, Chair. As per my report, Council has received a request on behalf of the Royal British Legion and Killaloe Remembers the Great War Group to add names of deceased servicemen who died in World Wars 1 and 2 to Killaloe War Memorial. The purpose of the report is to set out Council's powers in this matter and to seek approval in relation to the request. Chair, I've set out the relevant legislation, and that's simply because we don't receive these requests very often, and some members may never have come across this before. But essentially, the Local Government Act of 1923, as amended, gives Council the power to maintain, repair, protect and light war memorials within the district, whether they are vested in the Council or not, and these are discretionary powers. Traditionally, Council has carried out repair works to war memorials, replaced names, added additional names, organised power washing and painted railings around the war memorials. The requests to add additional names are infrequent. The last one I could find from research was 2012, so it's not something that would happen very frequently. Okay. The request relates to 5 listed servicemen who are representative of both sides of the community, and their names are set out on the wards in which they served in. Evidence has been provided in support of the request, and this is essentially around the regiment to which these individuals belonged and the fact of proof that they were born in Killaloe and have that local connection. It was originally proposed, you'll see at 2.7, that the names would be added by engraving them on the war memorial or the addition of a plate to the memorial which is already there. Just an update on that, Chair, if I may. It would appear that the war memorial in Killaloe, if anyone doesn't know it, it is a stone tablet. Quite a large one with 2 smaller plates with approximately 12 names on each side. The grounds maintenance team have advised that those plates are full, and it may be that in order to facilitate this request that we have to add a smaller plate again, which would take these 5 names and leave space for additional names should a further request arise in the future. In terms of the resource implications, I had given a figure there of less than £500. If it's the case that we have to add an additional small stone plate, the cost may be slightly more, but it's still proposed that this will be done within budget. I just wanted to give members the option. If the cost will be higher, I'm happy to bring back that cost at a later date, so members are aware of what that will be. But in terms of the recommendation, the application meets the criteria and it's recommended that the council accede to the request and add the 5 names listed at 2.6 in the report to Killaloe War Memorial. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Alison. Do we have a proposer and seconder? Or would you, Councillor Walker, you have a question as well?
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. I would second that proposal with the caveat there, what our officer has said in relation to costs, even bringing it back, you know, in relation to the costs and that. But what I would say is a lot of hard work has been done here over the last 2 or 3 years with not just the Royal British Legion, but Killaloe Remembers the Great War. They've done excellent work, so they have. They've done excellent research. They've even worked along with Peace Four. They've received funding from Peace Four to run initiatives over the last a few years, so they have, which was very, very successful. So it gives me privilege to propose this. You know, they've done a lot of research and history into it, and I think rightfully so, them names should be included to the War Memorial in Killaloe.
Thanks, Councillor Walker, and we have a seconder from Councillor Taylor. Any questions arising? No, we're happy to move on. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy to move on. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, Chair.
Oh, thanks, Alison. Okay, so item 11 is the National Association of Councillors General Management meeting, and Sarah's going to take this paper.
Yeah, so there was a request has come in from Councillor Casey to attend. It's going to be the first face-to-face meeting of the National Association of Councillors, the general management meeting. It's taking place in Leeds, and it'll be the cost of flights and accommodation as set out there. So the recommendation would be to approve his attendance at this meeting.
Thanks, Sarah. Do we have a proposer and seconder? Proposed by Councillor Howell. And seconded by Councillor Dorn. Thank you. Any questions from that? No, happy to move on. So items 12 to 14 are for noting. Okay, and now we're going to go into a closed session. So can we have a proposer and seconder to go into closed session?
Chair, I have a question on 14.
Oh, sorry, I didn't say that. Yeah, go on ahead.
Yes.
Ryan first there.
a couple of comments on item 14 on the NCCR board. So first off, I want to try and get clarity on why the minutes can't be sent around NCCR members after that meeting takes place, and then, you know, any changes, amendments offered, and then immediately added to the SPNR agenda for that upcoming month. You know, I think it's a bit ridiculous that we're basically now going to have to wait until August for the meeting from the last May NCCR meeting, which happened on the 20th. So, you know, that happened on the 20th of May. There's plenty of time to get those minutes sorted, run past members, and brought back to this committee here tonight. So I'd make a proposal that from now on the NCCR minutes are brought straight to the next possible SPNR meeting, not brought back to what I think is happening at the moment is they're being brought to the next NCCR meeting for ratification first, and I don't think that happens in any other council committee or body that I'm aware of.
I would have thought that would fall under the terms of reference for the project board, but certainly I'm sure the officials can pick up on this. I'll let Dorina come in, and then I'll let Councillor Sharvin and Savage in with their questions.
Yeah, perhaps I could just clarify. So it's my understanding, councillors, that as soon as the minutes of a project board meeting are agreed, they are brought to the next available SPNR. That is the practice that is happening currently. We can certainly put your comments back to the project board, Councillor Brown, that you're disappointed that the May minutes are not in front of us tonight. But there is a process, as we do with all minutes, to get agreement before they are tabled in front of this committee.
What is happening? I've only attended one of the meetings, and there seemed to be ratification of minutes at that meeting. So it is still my understanding that minutes from previous meetings are going to the next NCCR meeting and then are going to SPNR, which seems to be creating a bottleneck. Either that, or there's just no reason why a meeting that happened almost a month ago can't have its minutes ratified at the next available SPNR. So the main minutes should be on the agenda tonight for ratification.
But in relation to the minutes for the particular month, what I'm aware of is that there's some questions around the ratification of the minutes, and that is why there's a delay, as with every meeting that Democratic Services accommodate. We would get out minutes, and then, as we saw even today, there's been an amendment to some minutes because obviously the councillors went back to question something that was contained in the draft minutes that may need to have been changed. But what my question actually was about, in the workshop notes, it talks about public engagement around the Newry City Centre regeneration, and my question's in relation to the survey that was currently out that closed at the end of May. Is there a timeline of when the survey output will be shared with this committee? Because my understanding is that will come directly to SPNR and not to the project board. So it's just understanding and having a clear view of when we will know the public opinion on this project.
Okay. I'll bring Dorina in for that, Garth.
Thanks.
Yes, Councillor Sharvin, I've been advised that a timeline for the public consultation has closed, as you're aware, and a timeline for the next stages then is going to be reported to the next board meeting, that is next week. So the project board meeting next week, and a timeline for that, the outworkings of that public consultation will go to the project board then.
Okay,
thank you. Councillor Savage?
Yes, Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Chair, as you know, Newry councillors met recently with Newry Cathedral Parish. It's relation to item 14 as well. Met recently with Newry Cathedral Parish Council. We had a frank and honest meeting, and I left the meeting acutely aware that there was strong opposition in the parish to our current proposals for the development of the new civic centre stroke hub at the rear of the cathedral. Chair, I want to make it clear, first of all, that I will wait until the report on the public consultation, which I propose in council, comes back to the SPNR, presumably in August or September at the latest, depending on what is given back to the project board next week in relation to timelines, before drawing any conclusions However, I need, on the back of that meeting that we had, to ask the officers the following question. If the project board and the SPNR committee, on the back of the consultation report and other reports and solution options being tabled in the coming weeks, draw the conclusion that the Civic Centre hub element of the regeneration scheme is either potentially undeliverable or is fraught with difficulty, will we at project board level and then subsequently at SPNR committee level go back to look at other sites across the city as a potential plan B? Chair, my party has always been supportive of delivering all elements of the regeneration scheme, and we reiterated that throughout the whole process, and in fact all elements of the city deal, including a city centre park at Albert Basin, but we've always reserved a position on the civic centre hub element until the full information and consultation responses are available. So I'd like an assurance that if the civic centre hub site becomes potentially undeliverable, that a new trial of alternative sites as a potential plan B will take place, not just a rerun of the same sites looked at the very start of this process, but other sites that have since emerged that have development planning secured or in the planning system, and others that have since become available due to multinational tenants vacating sites due to relocation.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Savage. Serena is going to answer that for you.
Councillor Savage, I suppose you've asked a question about if something happens. I think it would be wrong for us to speculate until we see the outworkings of that consultation. And then once we see the outworkings of that, then we can see if what would happen thereafter. So it would be wrong to speculate at this stage until we have concluded that process.
Does that clarify the question?
Chair, would it not be prudent, though, to at least have that as a potential option? Surely we would have that as a potential option if things didn't go the way we wanted them to. Surely in any organisation, that would be a prudent thing to do. I am supportive of this scheme until such times as we run into difficulties like that, as I am with any other scheme. But, you know, we previously had developments in Newry that we've had to look at other sites. You know, our leisure centre in Newry was developed on a different site from the original one that was envisaged. So it's not the first time that the council's had to look at other options. I'm just advocating that the council takes a prudent approach to this. Nothing more, nothing less. If it means we have to wait on that process out working, that's fine. But I want it on the record that I've asked that question. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, that's noted. I would probably, I think it's probably something for the project board to take forward, and not necessarily at this stage for this committee, but I see Councillor Byrne, who sits on the project board, is looking to come in here, so go on ahead, Pete.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just to clarify, Councillor Byrne had made a proposal on bringing the minutes back. I made that proposal in January with the joint chair of the programme board, and minutes do come to the very next SPNR meeting. It doesn't matter if it was 2 days away, as long as the minutes are ratified by all members of the programme board. Now, every attempt is made at the end of the meeting to contact members of the programme board by email, at times by telephone, to ratify the minutes. If those minutes aren't ratified, they can't come in front of us. So I don't think there's any proposal needed made to bring it to the next SPNR instead of waiting 2 months. So what Patrick's saying is something incorrect. That's the way the programme board has been running from January. And just to clarify as well, Councillor Brown did state that all members have been receiving the correspondence from the parish. I want to put on record that I received zero correspondence from the parish. As the joint chair of the programme board, I've engaged multiple times with the parish by formal letter and formal request, and have been left out of all correspondence. So any of the letters the councillors are getting, I have seen none of them. And all programme members, board members, are getting letters from the parish. I have seen none of them. And for requests to go to a meeting with the parish, went to all members, bar myself as joint chair of the programme board. So, listen, I want to wait till the information is in front of us. I'm keen to see the outworkings of the public consultation. I'm keen to engage with all stakeholders, but it's a two-way process, and those stakeholders need to engage with me as well, and other members of the programme board. So I hope that changes going forward. And as in for the timeline of the public consultation, it is my understanding from our last programme board meeting, and Councillor Brown was there, that the public consultation, to collate all the responses, a huge response to it, would take somewhere in between 4 and 6 weeks. So it is my understanding that it's coming to the next SPNR meeting. But I just wanted to put on record or to clarify that we do bring the minutes to the next meeting, and I have received no correspondence.
Okay, Councillor Tinley.
Thanks, Chair. Just this last point there that Councillor Bourne made, I don't know whether to laugh or cry, Chair, that as chairperson of the co-chair of the Regeneration Board, that he is not aware of the consternation that currently sits with the Newry Cathedral Parish in relation to this project. I mean, I have two letters here sitting beside me that reflect that consternation, and I fear that I heard the term used earlier in the week about, you know, it's time to park fluffy words, and that's exactly what's starting to envelop this aspect of the Newry City Centre Regeneration Project. I wish to take, well, I wish to make a proposal here now to park all these fluffy words, and the proposal, Chairperson, is that Council agree only to proceed with the Civic Centre hub element of this project when we have written confirmation from Newry Cathedral Parish that they support their proposals, and we have received confirmation that a majority of respondents to the public consultation are supportive of their proposals. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Tunley. Now, we did have these items are for noting, so I'm not going to take anybody back in again, but there was a proposal initially from Councillor Brown in terms of how the minutes are ratified. So, do you have a seconder for that, Councillor Brown?
Chair,
yeah, I'd second that, Chair.
Chair, I've got clarification on the minutes. I just want to point out that I don't think there's any other council board or task and finisher or whatever that seeks a verbal or electronic confirmation from every single member before it can be ratified, so I would question.
Well, I don't think it's up to us to comment on that. If that's what the project board have agreed, then you're offering a counter proposal to that, so we need to get agreement that your proposal will carry.
To be honest, Chair, that can be challenged, I think, within NCR itself in terms of the efficiency of the meeting. But
if you could just confirm what your proposal was, Jarvis.
Yes, Chair. You want me to read it out again, yeah?
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Thanks, Chair. So, Council agree only to proceed with the Civic Hub element of the project when we have written confirmation from Newry Cathedral Parish that they support their proposals, and we have received confirmation that a majority of respondents to the public consultation are supportive of their proposals. And I would like to record a vote, please, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Tinley. Can I just remind members not to use the chat function? It's quite distracting just when we turn, especially when we're putting proposals to the floor as well. Marie, you wanted to come in on prior to any vote taking place?
Yeah, Chair, again, I would just like to remind members that it was the Strategic Policy and Resources Committee that put in place a governance procedure around the management of one of the most strategic projects in the Council, and that the appropriate forum for discussion on this initially would be through the Programme Board and back into the SPNR in that manner. I would also say to members that the public consultation has just closed and members have not been cited on this. So any decision that would be taken prior to any further works or information being provided would probably be preemptive of anything that would be coming from that. And it would also need to give consideration to the financial implications of such a decision as well. So I would believe it would be more appropriate for members to consider this in significant detail before a decision was taken on this matter.
Thanks, Marie. Councillor Byrne, you want to come in on a point of information?
Yeah, Chair. The proposal that's sitting in front of us actually rides roughshod across the whole process of the public consultation and propels one consultant or one consultee, although a very key consultee, of a list of, I think, 47 key consultees plus the wider public, to say that we're going to take one consultee from that list and the whole project depends on their opinion and their opinion alone, means that everybody that replied, the 1,000, 1,500, 1,600 people that replied to that consultation, and every other group, like Mary Bade and businesses, their opinion is not worth anything. So, I mean, that in itself just runs right through the whole consultation process, of which Councillor Tinney and Councillor Brown signed off. So, that proposal coming in front of us will not be getting my backing, and I don't think it should be in front of this committee.
Okay, thanks for that, Councillor Burns. So we're going to go to a recorded vote for Councillor Tinley's proposal. Oh, sorry, do you have a seconder, Councillor Tinley?
Yeah, I already seconded it.
Okay.
Okay, Councillor Brown?
For.
Councillor Burton?
Against.
Councillor Dorn?
Against.
Councillor Gallagher's not on the call. Councillor Hanlon?
Against.
Councillor Howell?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness?
Against.
Councillor Murphy?
Against.
Councillor Murray's not on the call. Councillor Riley? Councillor Riley? Okay. Councillor Savage?
Abstain.
Councillor Sharkin?
Against.
Councillor Taylor?
Abstain.
Councillor Tinley?
For.
And Councillor Walker's not on the call. So I have 2 for, 7 against, and 2 abstentions.
So that proposal has fallen as well. Okay, so if we can move on to Councillor Savage's proposal. Michael, if you can clarify what your proposal was, please. I would ask you to take on board the comments of the Chief Executive as well.
I was just going to raise those comments in relation to the Chief Executive, what Marie has said. My comments were trying to reflect that in relation to what had been tabled to the floor. I'm happy if Marie can give an understanding that she will often investigate those claims and come back to us at some level. I think that's the channel through which to do it, and that's the only reason that I tabled it at the time, because I believe we have a duty of care to our officers as well. So I'm happy enough if Marie's able to come back to us at some stage with an insight and look at that issue and come back to us as to why we are sitting with two different versions of events, so that we can move forward with everything, if that is doable.
Chair, I can certainly come back on that.
Thank you.
So your proposal is to bring back.
The proposal is for Chief Executive to look into the issue and come back to SPNR or whatever.
Just to be clear, I'll not be coming back through SPNR in this manner. That's just raising for a complaint regarding an officer through a committee. If there is something that needs to be dealt with, if they could correspond with me as Chief Executive, and I will manage it through our HR processes as appropriate.
Okay.
So we're clear, Councillor Savage. Do you have
I will write to Marie, asking her to look into the matter based on the fact that I have heard two different versions of events given to me. I was at the meeting with the church, so I feel compelled to see clarity in that.
Okay, I'm probably in a better position than most of the councillors on the committee then, because we weren't in attendance.
No, and that's why it was very, very important that I did raise that, because I believe we have a duty to care to our officers, and we've also a duty to care to the councillors to ensure they get the right information.
And Chair, I'm happy to discuss matters in relation to officers in a confidential manner, as I would expect all councillors would believe is appropriate.
Yes.
Thank you, Mary. So, okay.
I withdraw my proposal based on the information provided by the Chief Executive. That formalises what you need to do, Chair.
Perfect. Thank you, Councillor Savage. So we're going to move into closed session now. So if we could have a proposer and... Sorry, forgive me for not being... okay, so items 15 to 27 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3, part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act. 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. So if we could ask for a proposer and seconder to go into a closed session. Proposed by Councillor Hoyle and seconded by Councillor Brown. Thank you. Okay, so if we can have a proposer and seconder to come out of closed session, please. So proposed by Councillor Sharvin and seconded by Councillor Hoyle. Just follow me on Twitter. Okay. So, whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. On item 14, Forkill former barrack site, report of Slave Gullion. On the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed that elected members approved the following recommendations. Council replied to DFC, acknowledging the correspondence following the completion of the public consultation process and reaffirm its continuing commitment to work with them and others to take forward the overall development of the site. 2. Given the ongoing maintenance issues of the former play area toilets, Bog Road leased, which is not in council ownership, acquisition of the remaining green central acreage of the Forkill site presents an opportunity to work with the local community, develop a grass planted open space area under full council maintenance and management. Officials to approach funders to work with council and the local community to help develop and fund green space proposals for future community use and enjoyment of the Forkill former barrack site. Council to ensure that any transfer of lands from DFC to council is at a nil cost, as previously discussed at the outset of the D1 process. Relevant council departments to be mindful of the site in regard to future leisure play sports plans and strategies that they are developing. Item 16, Ban Road Castlewell and Storm Attenuation Project. On the proposal of Councillor Harrell, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed that elected members approve the following recommendations. Members to note the content of the report and approve to add this project to the capital programme. Based on the cost estimate provided by our consultant, approval of a budget of £95,000 be assigned to the capital programme for this project. Item 17, request from PHA for National Testing Partnership Venue in Downpatrick Walk-in Testing Facility. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Harrell, it was agreed that elected members approve the following, that members consider the content of the report. Members confirmed their agreement to continue discussions with the PHA for the potential leasing of the all-weather play area at Down Leisure Centre for the purposes of a walk-in COVID-19 test centre for up to 6 months. A further report is to be brought to this committee prior to the end of the first 3 months to determine if Council wishes to exercise our rights to terminate the lease after the first 3 months. Item 18, regularisation of the IDOX procurement and contractual arrangements. On the proposal of Councillor Hoyle and seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed that elected members approve the following, to consider the attached business case and approve the regularisation of the procurement and contractual arrangements over a 5-year term with the incumbent supplier, utilising Lot 2B of Crown Commercial Service Framework Agreement, RM3821, as a compliant procurement vehicle to direct award existing service continuation. Item 19, Rate Support Grant 2021-22, a verbal report at the meeting on the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Byrne. It was agreed that elected members note the officer's verbal update provided and the contents of the letter attached, together with other affected councils, contact the Minister for Communities and the Minister for Finance to express this council's concern at the reduction of the rate support grant to councils and request its immediate reinstatement to previous level of support. Item 20, the siting of beehives on former council landfill site at Ocnagun. On the proposal of Councillor Tinley, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed that elected members approve the following. A valuation is obtained to assess the licence fee payable for the use of the council lands at Ocnagun by the beekeeping group, following which approval is then sought from the Department for Communities for the granting of the licence agreement at a nominal sum. Item 21, the licence agreement with Drumminess Snooker Club. On the proposal of Councillor Harrell, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed that elected members approve the following: that approval be given to a 10-year licence agreement with Drumminess Snooker Club at an annual rate of £1,000, subject to departmental approval being obtained of the lower rate payable in respect of the annual licence fee. Item 22, licence of strip of land at the Down Leisure Centre. On the proposal of Councillor Harrell, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed that elected members approve the following: that approval be sought from the Department of Communities for the granting of the licence agreement for the operation of a cycling hub at a nominal sum, and a licence agreement is then entered into with Cycling Ireland. Item 23, proposed lease of the lands at Americam Lane, Cranfield, Kilkeel, to ANI Electricity Networks. On the proposal of Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor Riley, it was agreed that elected members approved to grant a licence to NIEN of the lands outlined in red on the map as per the officer's report for the term of 99 years, subject to a one-off premium of £1,000. Item 24, Management Accounts March 2021. It was agreed to note the Management Accounts for the year ended 31st of March 2021. Item 25, Communication and Marketing Activities activities in response to COVID-19, April 20 to the 31st of March 21. It was agreed to note the contents of the report. For item 26, Drumminess Road, Castlewellan, it was agreed to note the correspondence received, and then there was a proposal from Councillor Howell, and seconded by Councillor Byrne, to write to the Divisional Manager and seek clarity on the correspondence that was received by Council. For item 27, the construction industry material shortages and price increase potential impact to Council's capital programme, it was agreed to note the contents of this report.
On behalf of Marie Ward, then Chief Executive, due to the current legislative uncertainty around remote meetings and the restrictions on indoor gatherings, the Chief Executive also agrees to exercise her delegated authority under standing orders to implement the resolution of the committee once ratified by Council, subject to any conflict of interest or legal advice that the decision is unlawful.
Okay, if I could have a proposer and seconder to come out of closed session. All right. Well, thank you. I'm away for later. Thanks very much.
Thank
everybody.
You.
Have a good evening.
Thanks, Chair.
Never doing that again.